The following Burl Report podcast is made possible through underwriting from Biotech 2013 Life Sciences, Capturing Value, Burl & Company's 27th annual report on the life sciences industry, available now at burlmedia.com. I'm Daniel Levine, and this is the Burl Report. The California Institute for Regenerative Medicine plans to spend $70 million over 5 years to create a network of stem cell clinics to conduct trials in the hopes of accelerating the translation of experimental therapies into available treatments. As part of the plan, a coordinating center will aid the clinics in enrolling patients, managing regulatory hurdles, and becoming a repository of knowledge about how best to tackle clinical development issues surrounding cell therapies. We spoke to Alan Trounson, president of the Voter-Created Institute, about the role the clinics will play, the gap they seek to fill, and how they fit into the Institute's greater mission. Alan, thanks for joining us.
Hi, good to be here.
The board of the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine approved a $70 million plan to establish a network of clinical trial sites throughout the state. What exactly would these sites do, and what would they mean for enhancing our ability to turn research in the area to therapies that benefit patients?
Okay, so the board did approve that, and the $70 million for this network. So we've been analyzing this for some years now as we bring a lot of the clinical trial work forward, and it's the trials are beginning to enter phase one that we are actually we've been supporting. So we expect a large number of them to enter clinical trials over the next few years. And when we looked at the resources around California, there was none really concentrating on cell therapies. So this is a network to deliver cell therapies in clinical trials and then as approved procedures for patients. And the importance of it is that there are no cell therapy facilities that are focused on that. What they have to do is prepare cells. Sometimes they need to genetically engineer the cells. Sometimes they need to purify them, and so on. This takes very special facilities. It takes some some special developmental people to be able to do that. And we felt that it was important to, now that we're actually bringing these treatments to the people, to make sure that we had the clinical capacity to do it. So we focused on the Alpha Clinic note because we felt that it was best to put these facilities in the major institutions, and we had a workshop with all of the people that were interested in California and beyond in terms of all of the activities of these networks, and there was a very strong desire to get it in place. And so there will be a number of clinics, we think probably five of them around the state, and there will be a central core which will prevent or stop duplication of matters and actually have data collection and learning facilities throughout the state. So that central core will enable all of those clinics to operate in a really efficient and effective way.
So the central core, you're talking about what's been referred to as the coordinating center?
Yes.
One of the things that struck me as interesting about that is it seems that the coordinating center has this important role in pushing out information as well, not
yes.
just coordinating. What exactly is that role?
Well, the role of the whole network, but that is really sort of focused, if you like, on the core, is to be able to inform the community, inform patients of what is actually happening in genuine clinical trial work and in genuine cell therapies. Unfortunately, there's a lot of medical tourism in this area, and they're not in approved. Proof procedures, and they're not really scientifically valid, and haven't been validated by, you know, the appropriate processes. So what we want to do is really help people to know what is available for them in their particular areas. So first of all, there's this outreach to the community through there, but we also want to have what we call independent counselors, so independent of the medical practitioners, but be able to help the patients understand where they could go. It may be a clinical trial in the network or outside it or somewhere else outside California, but to help them to go to the right place rather than the wrong place. So this is all about, you know, helping to educate the community, particularly people who are interested in treatments and particularly patients who are seeking treatment for themselves or their families.
As you mentioned, these sites are going to be built around established medical centers that already have clinical infrastructure. What was the thinking in doing that?
Well, because a lot of these cell therapies are really quite complex. It requires you to have either GMP facilities, or good medical practice facilities, are very specialized for growing cells and making sure that they're treated in an absolutely pristine way, and there's no chance of any infection coming with that. Or an equivalent of that. And they also need these specialized people, who are used to it. They may need to take the cells and then, and manipulate the gene so that the gene is not then functional in the cell as we do for the treatment of HIV/AIDS, or to get the right gene back into the cell in the case of patients with genetic disease. So these are very, very specialized, and they're not normally placed in any other, in institutions that don't have these really major capacities.
It strikes me when you held the workshop back in November 2012 and the idea of the Alpha Clinics were explored, one of the things that came up were the gaps in the clinical infrastructure that existed. What came out of that discussion in regards to that?
Well, I think there's, what happens normally is that, you know, clinical trials either evolve because the specialist clinician has an interest in it, and then hopefully the institution will provide some support for that, or a company approaches an institution and a medical center and is prepared to sort of fund it through, seeing that, you know, their cells would be used for patients for certain conditions. What we don't really have is, you know, that detailed project management and the way of collecting the data, the ability to see the patients independently of the clinician so that they've at least feel, you know, that they've looked at all the options that are possible for them and so on. So, you know, there are a number of areas where there was deficiencies in the system that really, while the clinical trials are going ahead at the moment, there are relatively few institutions that have that kind of infrastructure to deal with them. So we could see a huge blockage coming in the work that we wanted to make sure was going to the clinic unless we did this.
It strikes me that this is not only about building infrastructure, but really developing knowledge and expertise. How do you envision companies will be able to tap into the expertise that evolves at these clinics?
Well, the information that we derive from there, and that will be, you know, handled by the court to keep, a network memory of how to do these things, would be available to the companies who are needing to sort of then work their way into those clinical trials. So at the present time, if what's happening is everyone's trying to discover this themselves by going to the FDA and trying to figure it out that way. We hope that that the information that we'll have will guide the companies and guide the teams, and they may be academic teams that are linked to companies or academic teams alone, that really need this information to help them sort of shortcut doing things the wrong way or doing things unnecessarily. And so, you know, trying to reduce some of the cost and time that's involved with getting this work through to the patients.
Part of the rationale for voters when they voted to create CIRM was not just the desire to develop promising new therapies, but also to serve an economic development function as well. What's the economic development case to be made for investment in these alpha clinics?
Well, I think the investment is basically linked to the $3 billion that was raised for this. I mean, without it, a lot of these clinical trials will struggle to go forward. And in fact, it'll be quite haphazard the way things happen, even with work that gets through, with registered approval from the FDA. We wanted to make sure that we could utilize all the effort that we'd really put into it. And this is one way which we could do that. We're providing some infrastructure to these already sound clinics to be able to develop, a real solid program of cell therapies. I think the business plan in the long term will really have to be evaluated as we move along. It's clear that the institutions will have to be co-investors in this, so they will have to come with us with a notion of how they're going to be sustained for the long term. We've looked at the business plan in a theoretical way from how we think it would be constructed, and it looks pretty reasonable if you continue to get clinical trials funded. So I think part of it depends on whether we're refunded or whether there's funds that have come from other places that will continue to support these clinical trials moving into application.
The $70 million of funding is intended to come over 5 years.
Yes.
Which, to me, contemplates a life for the agency beyond its 10 years of funding under Prop 71, which created the Institute. How do you envision CIRM after its 10th anniversary? What's the next 10 years?
Well, that really does depend on whether there's funding for CIRM to continue. So, we're looking at different ways in which we might achieve that. But none of that is really for certain at the moment. I think what we've been able to do in the time frames that we were given and the funding is to demonstrate that not only can we get the discoveries happening in the science, but draw those developments really through to clinical trials. Hopefully we'll be able to show that these clinical trials will really result in the benefit that the community hoped for in the beginning. But we have to wait till those clinical trials really evolve with enough patients treated. And that'll take, another 3 or 4 years for certain before we'll know that, in any real terms across a number of different conditions. So, I think the longer term really depends on many factors, and as much as anything else about whether we're able to figure out a way of continuing to have CIRM operate in this area. Particularly, I think it's particularly important in this area for translating these current studies, because we have some 80 studies that are in translation to the clinic at the moment.
Alan Trounson, President of the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine. Alan, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks a lot.
And a reminder to our listeners that Biotech 2013 Life Sciences, Capturing Value, Berlin Company's 27th annual report on the life sciences industry, is now available. You can download a free chapter or purchase the book at berlmedia.com. Thanks for listening. For information on Berlin Company events and publications, go to berlinco.com. And be sure to join us at theberlreport.com for the latest news and analysis on the life sciences industry. Sign up for our free e-newsletter, the Berl Weekly Brief, by hitting the sign-in link at the top of our website. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Berl Report @TheusLevine. And thanks to Jonah Levine for providing the Roll Report theme music.